Brother Tim, and that's just the way he is. He's just 100% all, just going all the time. You know,
he's
100% all in. And so we just really appreciate our brother, appreciate each one of you for being here today. If I hope you didn't forget the time, James, like I did last night, which luckily for this time of year doesn't mean you're late. So I was just early. Anyway, so it's good to be with you today. I know that Sister Vicky, where's she at? She's back there. She's holding out on us. I know she can sing. So, you know, Hannah can.
Uh-huh.
You know, Elijah can.
Uh-huh.
And so I know it come from somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And Malachi's got his head hung down there for a minute. You're next. So anyway. No, it's really good to be with you this morning. It's good to be with church family.
Amen.
And so let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We'll begin reading Romans chapter 12. Y'all forgive me, I've been warm all morning. I had a fan blowing on me back there. My wife came in and said, "Were you hot?" And I said, "Yeah." She thumbs up and smiled at me because she's always warm, you know.
Yeah.
So, amen. Romans chapter 12. We'll be reading most of the chapter. We'll begin reading verse 1. Very familiar scriptures to most of us, if not all of us, should be. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministry, or on he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing instant in prayer. distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep, Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, prove all things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And then let's go back one chapter, read verse 29, just one verse there. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God does not take them back. And then I want to read one more place. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us bow our hearts to Him. Lord, how thankful we are for your blessings upon us today. Lord, to be with our loved ones of like precious faith. Lord, to be in the house of God. And to have a message, Lord, that you have sent to set us free. Lord, we just pray this moment as we look into these words, God, that you would just come on the scene. Let your presence be here to break the bread of life to each one. Lord, that you would just give us that which we have need of. We know, Lord, there's many battles that lay ahead, and we know, God, that you have in your word the strength that we have need of for those battles to get us through victory after victory. We ask today, Lord, that you just bless each one now with your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I mean, love the Lord. We pray that I can make good timing this morning on this that I want to share with you. So I want to title this, The Power of a Gift. Power of a Gift. And, just want to make a few comments here just before we get really into it. So I really appreciate what the Lord has done and is doing in this assembly. And so I pray that each one of us, that we don't forget and don't lose sight of what the Lord has done and what he is doing, what he can do, what he's capable of doing. I pray that we don't lose sight of that and that we continue to believe that God has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. Now, we know that's true for an individual, but I believe also for a church, because the scripture tells us in Ephesians that God hath ascended on high, right? Gave gifts to men, and he gave a fivefold ministry. And the scripture said that fivefold ministry would be here until we reach that perfected place. Not to try and add my own words to it, but what that means to me, until our bodies are changed.
That's right. Yeah.
Until we come to that place, God has promised that there will always be a fivefold ministry. There will always be someone there who God will work through to help bring us to perfection, right? Yeah. Help us bring us to that place he wants to. And so we really appreciate that he's promised those things. And so we as individuals know he will not leave us or forsake us. We as an individual know that he will not leave us or forsake us. The bride of Christ as a whole, we know he's not going to leave or forsake. He's going to do what he has promised. And so, last week we heard, I heard a few different testimonies there. One was about a young person who had asked their parent a question the night before, Saturday night, I believe it was. And when we came in service yet Sunday morning, I said, the question is, and I asked the exact question, and I had the answer. And I was telling Brother Daniel, he didn't know what the question was, but we were talking on Saturday. And I said that Saturday morning, the Lord had directed me in the direction that I was to go.
Yeah.
And so that tells you that God knew what was on the young man's heart.
That's right.
Right. And so I also heard another testimony how another case where a person said to someone, go and listen to that again, because that answered your question that you had. And so, and then we heard another sister speaking about how that Brother Daniel being off ministering and would be ministering the same thing here as we did here, or on the same thread.
Right.
And so, you know, I can't tell you how many times that's happened we throughout the history of us being here in this church, whether it's Brother Daniel ministered me or somebody else, it doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
But, you know, that should give you confidence, and it does. It gives you confidence to know that God will speak to you through the ministry in this church, whoever's standing behind us. Because, like I said, he won't leave us or forsake us.
Right.
If you're his sheep, he's a shepherd.
Amen.
He can cause a donkey to stand up here and speak if he has to.
That's right.
Right? And so we've got to understand that. Be still and know that we're God, and he is on the throne, and his eye is upon his people.
Amen.
Right? And he will do what he said he's going to do. He's not going to let you slip or, you know, let things go. There is a reciprocation. There's a place on our part, our response to have to with him. But so we appreciate that. And so it gives us confidence to know that God can speak to you his word from this pulpit. And so, what else could we want?
Right.
What else could we want other than to know that we've got God's favor enough that he will send his word and speak to us?
Amen.
Because his word is everything.
Right.
Right? His word is all we need. Heaven and earth pass away, but his word will not. And so we really appreciate that. And so it's confidence. Gives us confidence to know that the Lord can speak through this pulpit, through this ministry. But let me say this, not just confidence to know that he can answer your questions and he can make you feel good and you can say, praise God, that's what I was talking about on the way to church. Mm-hmm. But the same God that can do that is also speaking from behind the same pulpit through the same ministry.
Yeah.
Things that correct.
Yes.
And things that puts pressure on the clay to try and mold it and make it into what he wants.
Right.
And see, and you bear with me, okay? But you'd be a hypocrite to only accept the things that are good,
that's
that
right.
feel good, and to reject the things that correct.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, you know, either God's in it or he's not.
That's right.
Right? And so God's 100% in. Just like I was talking about Brother Tim, he's 100% what he is.
That's right.
And God wants us to be that way, 100% of what he's called us to be. Because that's what he was when he walked up Calvary.
Amen.
He was 100% in to do the job. Mm-hmm. And he expects us to be the same. Yeah. And so when we come to the house of God, we should have expectation. Listen, don't forget all the things that the Lord has done for you in the past.
Yes.
As an individual, but as a church, all the time God has spoken. And if you come and believe with expectations, you'll see God do a lot more.
Amen.
And we know that. You know, and so that comes to mind right now, that story when Brother Brown was talking about the little boy wanted to see God, and he finally got to the man that said to the boy, he said, for the last 75 years or whatever it is, he said, that's all I've seen is God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Brother Brown, the comment that Brother Brown made after this, what stuck with me is that Brother Brown said he had so much of God on the inside that he could see him on the outside.
That's right.
And so... You know, you see somebody that they just don't have expectations of life. They're probably not going to see, even when God's doing things, they might not see it. But yet, he does. And so we appreciate God establishing those things. And it is God, because man can't do that. Man can't do that. You know, it's one of the hardest things in the world to get one man to believe another man, to believe that God is actually working and speaking through another man. You know, they just couldn't believe that God was in Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the way it's been all through the ages, just to get people to sit down and say and believe that God is speaking through a man into their lives. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do. And so we know that when God establishes a confidence in those kinds of things, you know, it's a great thing.
Right.
And we should protect that. We should honor that and protect that and keep it under prayer and so forth. And so... You know, we want you to have confidence. But we want you to have confidence in the right thing.
That's
right. And if you have confidence in Brother Tony or Brother Daniel or whoever else who stands here, mm-hmm. your confidence is wrong. Because
right.
we're just mere men. Mm-hmm. But if your confidence is in the shepherd and the God who's watching over you and has sent into his church gifts to help perfect you, and if you honor it that way and recognize it that way and don't make it any higher than what it is, God will speak to you and he'll work through it to you to help you.
Right.
You forgive me. This thing was completely full and I'm spilling it all over me. So, we want people to be confident in the right thing. And so, people can have confidence in all kinds of things. And we realize that a lot of those things people can have confidence in is wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. And here's the thing, is that when it gets away from the Word, when it gets away, I don't care what it looks like, how good, whatever, if it gets away from the Word of God, then there's something wrong with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of want to talk about that today, in the power of gifts. Man, how many believe that you've got gifts? I believe that each one of you are a gift for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We each one are members of his body, and we, as we read, each one have a purpose, and the body will benefit. You may think you do nothing, but the body benefits. Even from a child here in this congregation sitting there, this congregation benefits from that.
That's right.
And so, and we want to not lose sight of that. So, the power of a gift. So, yeah, I said we're all gifts, but we also have gifts. We have gifts in our life that God puts there for a reason. And so gifts are put into our life. God has put those things in our life that, you know, when someone gives you a gift, it's usually for a purpose, right? You know, if I can give a gift to Brother Daniel, it would be because I want him to have it. And it's not something that's worked for, paid for, whatever. It's a gift. It's a desire on the giver's part, unknown to the receiver, the desire of the giver who wants and gives, and wants that person to have that so that that person can benefit from that, or maybe others could benefit from that person having that gift, whatever it is. So it's usually for a purpose, and it'll help the person who receives it. It might help the ones around it, whatever it is. But gifts are given for a purpose. And when those gifts are used according to the purpose that they were given for, or that you understand what I mean, then they will speak of the intentions, and it'll speak of the character, and it'll speak about the giver.
Mm-hmm.
If the gift is used properly, it will speak of the giver.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking about this when we talk about this, we're talking about God. The things that God had placed in our lives and things that he put there for us. And he put those there, and if they're used right, they will give honor and glory to him.
That's right.
That people could look at your gift in your life and praise God in the matter because he's the one that gives it, right? But if you turn around and take that gift and use it for the wrong thing, it does the opposite. It pulls away from God's economy. I give you one word that will tell you what I'm talking, an example. Two words. I could say one word. Elvis.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley, one example of a man who could have used his gift for God, but did not.
Yeah.
And look what it did. Mm-hmm. And so a gift, the gifts that God has put in our life is will give honor to him as long as it's used for him and used properly. And so, you know, when God made heaven and earth, when he made all things, did he need help from anybody? Let me just bear with me as I go through these things, because I want you to associate with the God that we serve.
Yeah.
Did God need help to do what he did? The answer is no. He didn't need government permission. He didn't need permission from the government to do it. He didn't need to go and get a bank loan to do it. He didn't need to go get legal counsel to find out if it's going to be okay for him to do it. He didn't have to go and make sure he had built up a bunch of reserves so he could, before he could take on the project. He didn't have to look around to see if he had political backing. See which way the wind was going to blow. He didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need a military.
Yeah.
He didn't need a social support program. Mm-hmm. He didn't need a Facebook account. What did he need? God didn't need anything.
Right.
Because he alone is God.
Right.
He is God alone.
Yeah.
And he made things the way he wanted them to be. I mean, he just made it according to his own his own sovereignty. He is sovereign. He can make his own choices. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have to ask for somebody. He didn't, you know, when the scripture said he swear by himself because there was no greater power to swear by. Mm-hmm. So we understand that. And so here's God, and he created the angels, and each one with their gifts and their talents, and he created heaven and earth, and he created all of, you know, people throughout the ages, and each one with just what he wanted them to have, and all of them could be used to be a blessing to his kingdom and speak of the character of the one who gave and has sent what he has sent.
Right?
And so here he's done that, and he's made heaven and earth, made the angels, and then the audacity of his creation to come along and question what he's done and move away from what he's done.
Yeah.
And when they do that, they're questioning and moving away from someone who doesn't need to get permission from the government, doesn't need a bank account, didn't have to ask nobody.
Yeah.
He had no constraints on him whatsoever to do what he wanted.
That's right.
And so when he created you, he made you such that there's no constraints on what he wanted to bless you with.
Right.
He placed it there, and it is to do what he sent it to do. And so he's done that, and so we are all here in a place in the body of Christ that kind of character gave us.
Yeah.
There's no mistake about what he put here in us. No mistake about what it has. His creation is all for his purpose. But it'll give honor to him as long as it's used in his program the way he made it.
Yeah.
And so I said the audacity. Think about that. It's ridiculous that we would question Almighty God in anything about his word.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, if you don't understand something, I understand you got to work through that. But when he vindicates it, if you just give him a little chance, he'll show his word to be true.
Right.
And then you'll know right where you're standing with him.
Yeah.
But I'll use the word to the audacity a lot, because that's exactly, just think of it, as the scripture said, does the clay have power to look up to the one that's made it and said, why have you made me thus? Paul talks about that. Could you imagine, just as ridiculous, a potter who's working, he works and he makes a cup. He's going to drink a cup out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes the rest of the lump and makes a bedpan out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he comes along and the next day he hears something. He looks over and the bedpan is saying, why did you make me what you made me?
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul is saying. The audacity that we would say, why do I have the color hair I have? Why am I as tall or short as I am?
Uh-huh.
Why don't I have a voice to speak? I'm not Sister Vicky, smile and grin. But why don't I have a more eloquent voice for speaking?
Yeah.
I go places and, you know, I remember down there, and Brother Danny Steemans like that, you know, to preach, and I walk up there and they have to adjust the microphones for me. Who are we to question God?
Yeah.
And yet we do it all the time. And I'll say the audacity of us or anyone to question Almighty God.
Right.
The best thing we can do is get into the channel of what he made us, find out our position,
and
give honor to him by being what he's called us to be. We can be a blessing to everyone that God has sent us to as long as we stay with what he's made us to be.
Right.
So, he created all the angels and all their order. There was a heavenly order. And then Lucifer comes along with his idea. How ridiculous. That he thought he could make a better kingdom, more brighter, more popular, more glorious than that of Christ. Brother Ben said that of Michael, which, you know, Christ in angelic form in that realm, thought he could build a better something than God. And we go, that's ridiculous. But yet in our lives every day, we're doing things that's kind of on the same order.
Yeah.
So let's just look at the mechanics and dynamics and the arrangement there of that situation in heaven. God's kingdom there in heaven, God's kingdom was not the most beautiful, not the most glorious, was not the most dynamic. And God made it that way. You might say, oh, I'm not, my voice is not good, or whatever. God's kingdom there in heaven was not the best, most beautiful, most dynamic, most glorious thing there. Follow me? It was not. God left room for Satan or Lucifer to come along and create a program that would outshine, look like, would outshine the program of God. And you say, well, how do you get that, Brother Tony? Because it worked. The scripture let us know, and Brother Brown talks about this, and you know, he said, the scriptures, Lucifer caused the angels, a bunch of them, to fall. And you see, some of those angels had in them the desire for the thing that Lucifer was offering.
That's right.
They had that in them.
Right.
Or else his plan would not have worked. And so, you know, to me, the angels were kind of like us, okay? I'm not preaching this as a doctor, but to just try and show you how I break these things down. You know, we are body, and we're spirit, and we're soul. And we know from the wonderful truths of this message to know that in our soul, we're either part of God or we're not. And if you're part of God, there's no way that you can be lost. But we also understand we're in a body that is fallen in sin, and we have a spirit that can swing either way. It can be like the wind of the tossed to and fro and so forth. And so, you know, we read the scripture there where we must cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and our spirit, our thinking. Notice it didn't say soul. Didn't tell us that we have to cleanse ourselves of the filth of the soul. Because if you are a believer, that down inside there is a seed that cannot sin, never has sinned, never will sin, has always had eternal life and can't be lost.
Right.
So there's no purifying that needs to happen in the soul. Because he's already, he just may lay in there dormant, needs to come out and affect our lives. But in our flesh, that wants to do things that's not the gospel, and in our spirit, those two have to be cleansed. We have to cleanse ourselves from filthy things in the flesh and filthy things in our spirit. We have to say, God, forgive me for having that thought. How many knows what I'm talking about? That's right. But it doesn't say that about the soul. And so when I look at the angels, I look up there and I see that all those angels, you just bear with me, you know, as I'm trying to share with what's on my heart, that in that realm, all the angels were majestically glorious. This was a great program of God of heaven, and they were there to give honor and glory to the creator of all things. So in our ideas of angel, great big wings and all that, and we find out the angel that came to Brother Branham didn't have wings.
Right.
He looked like a man.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
A lot of times they did look like a man. But I suppose, as we know from scriptures there, that many times they great majestic ones with six wings and all the different things, the seraphims and cherubims and all those things. So, but to me, they all outwardly had great, great majestic expression there. And they all had talents. They all had a place in God's economy. They all had that in their spot. They were dynamic. They were to be like no other angel could be what they were. Each one had his own place. I say that because that's the way it is here. And this is, you know, is it
right.
So, but you see that there were some of those angels And I think, you read the scripture, you'll think, well, it's one third. Brother Brim said two thirds. And that's could be a point of debate, but here's my point. That of us, of our being, of body, spirit, and soul, three different parts, one part is definitely of God or it's not. Mm-hmm. The other two parts, so to me, two-thirds of those angels in heaven listened to what Lucifer's lie was and was cast out. But there was one-third that couldn't be moved. And so those angels, they were all great, whatever their position was, and they all had talents and so wonderfully gifted to be what they were, to sing and to worship and all the things, holy, 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 and all that God had for them to be that would give honor and point to the Almighty God. But in some of those angels, there must have been something down inside. Mm-hmm. Even though they look glorious and well gifted and talented or whatever, there must have been something down inside that went corrupt. Something down inside that believed Lucifer's lie. And even in Lucifer, we understand that he was like the most brightest, beautiful, glorious angel of heaven, an archangel. But down inside, down in his soul, if we want to call it that, I'm not telling you they have souls, but just like I'm trying to show you, to me they're like us. Down in his soul, there was something wrong. And because there wasn't a tie post down in there, then his outward, his spirit, his flesh, his, the gloriousness of his outward being and his thoughts and his talents could be perverted because his soul wasn't right. He was gifted, talented. And so, must have been something different down inside. Now, we don't know how long it took, but eventually those angels believed Lucifer's lie. I don't believe that those angels didn't go, you know what, this guy's a crackpot, but we're going to follow him. They didn't. That is not how it happened. Yeah, and I say this because I'm speaking of your adversary, which you have no chance of defeating unless you can rely on Christ and let Christ do it. Yeah. But this, think of this entity. He was able to deceive holy angels of God.
Sure.
That wasn't some simple something. Mm-hmm. So, don't know how long it took. It could have been millions of years. I don't know. In our way of thinking of time, that was not in time, sort of. I can't say it was in eternity because eternity has no end. Because those angels were created.
Yeah.
But for however long it was, eventually, two-thirds of those angels fell for that lie that Satan had. And begin to believe that. Those angels begin to have confidence in Lucifer and in Lucifer's ministry or his influence or his whatever it was he wanted to do. And so they wanted that. They begin to be connected with him somehow. And so what I'm trying to show is it must have looked so good. Those angels must have actually got to the place where they really believed. You know what? He's right. Lucifer's right. This is going to be much better than what God's program was. That's the way it had to be that way for him to get to that and have them deceive. They had to go, you know what? This is right. We can have a more glorious, more brighter, more dynamic. Lucifer didn't do that by being a He was eloquent. He was anointed. His gifts, his talents, he used what God had made him to be, and he used that, and instead of giving honor to God with it, he began to draw to himself, and he deceived himself and others. You know, the scripture said he was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. When he began to use those dynamic creation of what God made him to be, to do something other than give honor to God,
right,
then he began to draw to himself.
Right.
And I say this because I want us all to recognize we are all gifted of God. We are all called to give honor to him, and we are all faced every day with this decision. That there's always something there to try and tell us that oh, it's much more glorious to go this way than to stay with this humble gospel. But this is how Satan took over a third of the angels in heaven and fell from heaven, by this kind of thing. And so, you know, Lucifer was anointed. The scripture said he was an anointed cherub. No doubt gifted, handsome, beautiful. Scriptures let us know that. But we understand that because the effect of what he comes down here and does, you can see what he was there because you can see his effect here on earth. Dynamic. Nobody could speak and talk to those angels like he could. He was so convincing that he was right, and yet he was wrong. Amen. He convinced them that he could have something much better than Christ was. And you know what? God let him look more appealing. Here's the humble gospel, the humble way of God, the humble program of God in heaven. And Lucifer rises up and said, I can do something better than that. And God let him do it.
Right.
It's a test of character to be able to look and see what is God. And no matter what comes along, if it gets away from the word, no, it's going to look glorious, look better, or whatever. You can't get any better than God's word, his program, his economy. And so when the Satan comes, he's a liar. You know he's coming to tell you, well, you know you're in for it. But something comes along and, you know, co-worker or whatever, and well, you know, Branham or whatever, that you know. There's enemies behind every tree trying to get you as soon as you walk by it.
Yeah.
You have to look at it that way because that's exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
So, Lucifer took those gifts of God in his life that should have been honoring God, and he began to draw to himself and deceived. God purposely, when this is going on, God purposely took a more humble position. He let Lucifer rise up in a realm that what they were looking at looked better than God's program. And so God purposely did. God could whip Satan left or right. He could be more beautiful than Satan, more powerful, a better speaker. He could do all that. But God chose not to feature in those things and come down here and humble himself to a more humble version. And Lucifer began to see that. And Lucifer saw that as weakness. Lucifer began to say, I think I can do better than that. Am I still telling the truth? And began to move out. And God sat right over here and let him do that.
Right.
Let him rise up to something knowing it was wrong. I say God purposely took this humble position, but that's the way God is. That's who he is. God is not featured in eloquence. God is not featured in dynamo, dynamic. He's featured in something lesser than what the world wants you to think. God did it that way on purpose. He left the door open so Satan could do that. He leaves things in your life where you can be tested the same way. So you're always confronted day in and day out in your own life, here in this church, wherever, on job. There's always Satan there to try and get you to look away from the humble word of God, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of just being what God made you to be and not try to be something else. There's always something there to try and turn you something else to something else And so, because that's just the way God is. God is, he's just that humble realm. Like I said, he could have whipped Satan anyway, but he chose to feature himself in a more humble fashion than what he could have. And Lucifer saw that and took advantage of it. What was missing in Lucifer's plan? Real simple. He just simply moved away from being what God made him to be, using his gifts to give honor to God, to give honor to himself or to something else or some other program. Real simple. That's all it was.
Right.
He just simply decided to start using his gifts and his talents and his being and his breath and his actions and his walking and everything he does to honor something else other than God. And it cost him. The best place you can be is to serve and honor God with all that you are. Because that's where life is for you. God has placed you there. And not, listen, back to what I said at the beginning. Look at the character of the one who did this. And if he put you in a certain spot and you'll stay right there, then you've got that one to deal with if something comes along and tries to change it. Right? So if we try to change ourselves into something different, we have to deal with that one. The one that doesn't need permission. Right? And if so, Satan tries to come along and move you, that's who he's going to have to deal with if you just stay there and don't listen to Satan's lie. Okay? And so that's real simple. That's all Satan did. Lucifer was just simply begin to move away from honoring God and thought he could honor himself. Said, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to get glory. I'm not satisfied with all the glory going to God. I want some of this. That's what he did.
Okay.
And so, you know, I was my wife reading in Acts here the other day, and I was and I forget which one it was, but when they came before one of those kings to speak before the king against Paul. And Paul was standing there, you know, and they come in, all these people come in, and they brought this orator, or whatever, this eloquent speaker. I mean, that was where I'm talking about in Scripture. So these Pharisees, Sadducees, whatever, you know, they understand the character of man. They understand that laying in these kings and stuff is something that wants to be glorified. So they bring this eloquent speaker and and I don't remember the words. I could look it up and read it, but you look at it, it's like, this is pathetic. Oh, precious king, and we know that, you know, I know you got better business to do than this, but just if you'll just, you know, because you're so great, but just if you'll just give me just for a moment, I won't take much of your time, and just eloquently just speaking to the negative, the thing that was in that king's heart, trying to gain his influence. Gain his purpose. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
See, all humanity has the ability in there that things can happen to begin to glorify you, that lift you up above what God wants you to be.
Yeah.
You all have it. We all do. And guess what? Satan is out to exploit every bit of it. And it's our job under this message, this gospel, to recognize how he drives that in our life and stop him from getting us to take our life and our gifts and our talents and begin to glorify something different than God.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was missing from Lucifer's plan was he moved away from the Word of God.
Right.
The program of God, that God set it in place. And he took others with him when he did that. And the only reason why he could take others is because they too had something wrong down inside. You know, Scriptures, I mentioned this last week, but the Scripture said, you know, they went out from us. And that manifests that they were not part of us, because if they were part of us, they no doubt would not have went out. They would have stayed with us. Think about that. God could say that. Those angels that stayed in heaven could say that about Lucifer and those other angels. They went out from us because they were not really part of us. There was something different about that group of angels than the ones that stayed with God. See what I'm saying? And Lucifer found out a way. He exploited that in his own self, and he exploited that in the other angels and began to move and work on that, and it caused a fall. And that's the reason why they fell, is because something was there, down in there, that could be touched with those things, to where they could begin to glorify themselves or have a plan different than what God wanted. That was the thing that was missing there. And so, when all this happened, it looked like God had taken a position of weakness. And Lucifer was probably like, oh, I got it, I got it. That weakling, he ought to have known that he could have done better than he did, and I've got it. It had to be the way it worked out. See? Oh, I've got it now. And so God took what looked like a position of weakness. It looks like it's weak to stay with this humble gospel. You bunch of Bible thumpers is what people call us. Mm-hmm. They just want to make fun of us. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So it looked like God took a position of weakness, but we understand that it was the position of strength. Because pride goeth before the fall. Right? And so, it wasn't a position of weakness. In Matthew, this comes down, this character comes down into God, into Christ. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18 through 21, if you'll pull that up there. It's speaking of Jesus. Said, behold my servant. This is when Jesus came here on earth. He wasn't all about a big program. Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, until he send forth judgment to victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Brother Ram talks about this. Jesus was not out there trying to get me the biggest PA system we've got. Advertise as much as you can. Follow me? That is not the way he operated. He healed people like, shh, don't tell nobody. Just don't tell nobody. See, God does not need to move over into this realm of exploiting something that's not right to get his word to come past. God knows that in the soul, there's something there to respond to his word. And if it's not there, they're going to be taken away one way or the other. So we're not going to be about trying to keep that from happening. We're going to take the humble gospel, and as we stay with that humble gospel, things will happen that will carry them away. Websites will open up and take them away from the message, but the humble people with a gene in their soul will not move. So the Lord does not have to go into all kinds of measures to try and reach out. He knows that if that word is presented, that'll settle it. Those who stay will stay, and those who go will go. Follow me? This is what Brother Rim talked about, how that Jesus had those pools, and when it got right down, he said he didn't explain to him when he said, eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Oh, this man wants us to be cannibals or vampires or whatever. And Brother Rim said, see, he didn't explain it. And the disciples, you know, he's like, will you also go away? And Peter said, why did Peter say this? Peter said, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where can we go? Peter said that because he had that gene of life down inside his soul. But all the rest said, man, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And you see, So it's all about just the word being out there in its humble fashion, being what it is, and not being elevated to something else, something greater. to try and gain the masses or do whatever. That's Satan's work. But to be humble and just live that word every day. Be what God has made you to be. Use your talents and gifts for Him. And don't try and let Satan exploit you to be something else. Yeah. See, if God wants you somewhere, He'll put you there. Yeah. If He wanted me to be president of the United States, I'd be president of the United States. And I'm glad He didn't want me to be president of the United States. But He will put you. So you know, the scripture said, a man's gift makes room for him. In the workplace, in church, wherever. See, just because what God has gifted him with will make room for him. And so we don't have to just be anything, you know, just what God made us to be. Right. And so, you know, Brother Branham was the same way. You know, it looked like God took the weak position, and Jesus looked like he wasn't some big shot or anything like that. Brother Branham wasn't either. Now think about this. In our day, a ministry that God sent to clear all this up and make it all known, the truth of His word, vindicated. And that man was not a big shot. That man, when he knew what they were doing to him, let them do it. When they stole his tent, he let them do it. Christ let them do what he did. God lets Lucifer do what he did. See? It's not all about doing all that you can to stop what Satan's trying to do or whatever. It's all about staying with the Word and let the Word take care of it.
Right.
And that's how it works. So, all God did there in heaven was, when Lucifer was doing that, all God did was just continue on to express his kingdom in its humble form that it was. And Lucifer did what he did. Heaven was split because of that. But here's why. So I asked the question, but why? And it's because God must allow what's down inside of the inside to come out and manifest. He does it with angels, and he does it with men. He must allow. If there's something down inside there that can be touched, Satan will touch it to carry him away. And that's what Brother Rune tells us in The God of This Evil Age, you know, that he said, here it is, that it's this age that God has called it the evil age. And he said that Lucifer, God, Satan, was the god of this evil age. And Brother Rune said, why would God pick this age, an evil age, what he says, the evil age, why would God pick this age to call his bride? And he said, because she has to be tried. She has to be tried like Eve was tried. She has to be tried. She has to be tested. She has to be tested to see if that gene of that rock solid word is down inside that soul. And if it's not, then there's signs and wonders that will deceive the very elect if possible. It will take, like I said last week, everyone whose name is not on that book of life, they will wonder. So see, if you've got something down inside you that's not right, God has to let Satan come and try and tickle that and excite that and make it grow. He has to. Now, down in your soul, you can't be taken away, but in your flesh and in your spirit, those things lay there. And so you have these things happening all the time, and you have to fight those things and cleanse yourself of those things in the flesh and in the spirit until what's in your soul has complete preeminence in your life. That's when you become an invincible army. When you recognize that spirit and what it tries to do to you, then you become invincible. Why? Because he can't do nothing for you. He can't mess with you no more. It doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it is. I believe that Lucifer really thought that he could do better. And you know what? In the realm that he was looking at, he could. It'll look better. Because God, as Brother Bram says, God is not, he thought God was found in beauty or featured in beauty. God didn't choose that. Brother Bram talks about great eloquent speakers, great in denominations and out there. Oh, just great men with wisdom and knowledge and so forth. And so, look what they do with it. So, as I said a while ago, God is God alone. He must have been sitting up there looking at Lucifer going, yeah. He's going the wrong way, but that's what's in his heart. I can't stop it because that's what's there. I could stop him, but it wouldn't change what's in his heart. He is what he is. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to go where he's going to go. All I can do is stand here and present the presence of the humble kingdom of God, the humble word, and he has to make his choice of what he does with it. And that's the way it is with all us. The word is preached. It's lived. It's told you. It's out here before you. You see it in your brothers and in your sisters. You see it in a prophet. You read it in the Bible. It's laying there, that humble word. And Satan is here to tell you always, but there's something greater, something better, something more glorious.
That's right.
To test you and to try you. And you've got to purge yourself from those things. If you're a Christian in your soul, they don't have resonant there, but in your flesh and in your spirit, you've got to purge those things out so that you use your talents and your gifts to always glorify God, to stay in your position where you belong. So here's what I'm getting at. Satan did that in heaven. And he come down to the earth and is doing the same thing in men. And like I said to us as believers, the word is in our soul. This great one sits on his throne. And he has created heaven and earth, and he has created a gospel. He has a program of life, and then the audacity of man to come along and question that. This is what happened in the fall in the Garden of Eden when Eve did what she did. And it went from there, just from the fall, but then it went over into Nimrod, where Nimrod's moved everybody away from belief in of one God into multiple gods. And that moved off into all the world. It became known as Babylon, and then it was scattered through all the world and through all nations. This movement away from God, away from his program which brought the fall, and then away from one God into three gods, or more gods, multiple gods, that movement went into all the world, and the whole world is corrupt with idolatry, with believing in many gods. And when God raised up Israel, in the midst of that whole world that's got all these different gods, he raised up Israel and said, the Lord your God is one God. What did he do in our end day, end time? Where Satan has went out, what did he do? Raise up with a message in our day. The Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That went into all the world. Religious system everywhere. And religious systems, many of which are a lot more strict than we are, religious systems of worship, but away from God. Moved away from God. And yet they're big systems looked at, well thought of by most of the world. We know that all that came over into the New Testament. Pagan Rome became papal Rome. And in the New Testament created a religious, same thing, a religious system. And has mixed it, instead of being the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, mixed it into science and beauty and politics. Yeah. And the whole world worships it. The whole world, like I said last week, that they will honor their own word higher than the word of God. Satan has made a system in all the world that the whole world worships him, because they will honor the system and the things that's out there more than the Word of God. And God came in our day and raised up a ministry that showed them that God was with it. And in the presence of that, they still worship this other system. So, what I said the other day, Brother Ram said that Satan had a marvelous success at becoming like God, being worshipped like God. And that religious system's all out there, mixed with science and beauty and politics, anything they can do away from the Word. It looks a whole lot better. God kept that humble gospel, and you go out, and these big systems and these big churches, they look more beautiful. Their program, hey, this looks better. See, Satan's not going to try to invest in something he knows not going to be pulling. He knows what's in the lives of people, and so he's going to build systems that will appeal to the thing in them that it shouldn't be there, or it shouldn't. And so, looks a whole lot more better than the humble gospel. And then God has brought a message in our day that has come along and said, that's Babylon. That's what you've seen back in the Old Testament. Now it's in a church system called Mystery Babylon. And that same thing that happened there where they took people away from believing in God and off into all this nonsense, this religious system has done the same thing. That's why she's called Mystery Babylon. God has come in this day and vindicated the whole thing's got Ichabod on it. All of those religions out there, they're out because they went away from the Word. Amen. And there's only one that's still with the Word. See? And the message rose up to prove that and show that and say, listen, that's Babylon, and Babylon has fallen. Come out of her, my people. Because she's fixing to be judged and you don't want to be part of it. And all we're saying is that they all did what Lucifer did. They have extreme talents and gifts and abilities, and they've used it for their own systems and their own glory rather than staying humble and staying with God. Didn't Brother Bram talk about this all the time? All the time. Because that's the program of God. And so, Brother Bram says, come out of her, the message came, come out of her, my people. And then people, God is vindicated, and people have the audacity to question it, walk away from it and say, yeah. Here we are, been created by Almighty God, and we're down here and we have the legs and the arms and the breath and the voice and the talents that he made us to be, and then we have the audacity to turn around and say, you know what? I'm not living for you. I'm gonna use the body that you gave me, the breath that you gave me, the talents that you gave me, and I'm not glorifying you. I'm going to go do my own thing, or I'm going to draw to myself. That's exactly what people are doing. That's exactly what every one of us can do if we don't let God have full control in our life and we don't fight diligently to let that Holy Ghost live in our lives. Amen. Remember, Promised Land had to fight battles. Right? All this religious system, just a mixture of science and popularity and politics and all that, it's all of the devil. Brother Bram talked about it. It's culture. It's a culture of man. He said, you think God, God's ignorant? No, God's got his own wisdom. Right? His own wisdom, and his own wisdom doesn't have to have a PhD, LLD, and all that. He doesn't have to go out and become the greatest and the biggest and be like the rest of the world. He doesn't do that. That whole religious system is that mixed tree, the tree of good and evil. Let me read what Brother Bram tells us. This is one place in the God of this evil age. I'm almost done here. Brother Bram said, do you see the God of this age? Do you believe it? See how it is? A church. Intellectual, science, and the whole world belongs to it. The denominations. You say I'm a Christian? What denomination do you belong to? Well, if I belong to a denomination, I don't believe I'd be a Christian. That's Brother Bram saying that. If I belong to one of those systems that had went out from the Lord, I don't believe I'd be a Christian. Because you can't be. Because a real Christian, right, has the real genuine life of Christ in there. It doesn't leave the Word.
Amen.
So they went out there and they call it Christianity, but they've hijacked it. So Brother Bram, and so listen to what he's saying. Now this is your prophet telling you this. He's my prophet. And they say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, what denomination you belong to? He said, well, if I belong to a denomination, I don't believe I'd be a Christian. He said, now that's a big word. He knew that was really going to slam him. He said, but that's right. I just got through saying that knowledge and science and Christianity have no fellowship at all. He's not telling us to be ignorant, okay? We as Christians go out and get in a car and drive home that science made for us. That's not what he's talking about.
Right.
But he's talking about in a system that draws you away from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And he said, has no fellowship at all. He said, one's of the devil and the other's of God. Anything denies the Word of God, keep away from it. See, no sir. The Bible calls this last day for Christians to come out of that prostitute. That tree of good and evil. Sure, she has good. Can anybody speak evil of a hospital? No, sir. Library? No, sir. Education? No, sir. But see, here's the catch. See, they're giving them that without the Word. They're giving them help, hospitals, they're giving them education, they're giving them all that without the Word. They've moved away from the Word, and they provide all this beautiful world with all these things, and the Word's not in it. So it all has to crash and fall. That's why I tell you, hold on to this world very loosely. You can use science for your whatever, as long as it didn't pull you away from the Word. Now there's people that's got dogmatic about that, sold everything, went and live on some mountain, and you know, that's not what we're saying. Brother Bram said, see how deceiving it is? Give them a church to go to worship, and a God sitting up on a throne. That's what they've done. These people have a worship. They have a God sitting on a throne that they're, see, and the Bible foretold it. And now, if you belong to one of those bodies, there's only two of them in the earth now, always has been and will be until Jesus comes, and then one of them will be destroyed. And now you belong to one of those bodies. One of them you join to, and the other ones you're born in. So Brother Bram's saying, look, it's all come down. He said, listen, I forget how he said it, but he said, you know, is God, is there another power control, or is God just, you know, letting? And he said there's really just two. There's God and the Antichrist. And it's moved and it's created a worldwide, this Antichrist has created a worldwide system that I'm telling you to try to work in your life too, even though we believe a message. And he's like, that's a body. And then there's the body of Christ. And he said, you belong to one of them. There's only two. And you belong to one of those bodies. And the bride of Christ belongs to the body of Christ, right? Because of this gene that she has down inside. So, can't speak of evil hospitals, schools, or library, but they give you all those things. And look, what do they do now? What have they done now with the medical system? Right? We're thankful for them. But look what they've done with it. Right? Look what they do with the schools. What are they doing with the schools now? What's in the libraries now? See what I'm saying? It's all without God. It's without the Word. And so without the Word, it's without God. And so let's stay with God's Word. Right? Let's don't let Satan move us off into something else. But let's stay. Use what we are in humility to serve God day in and out. Serve His body day in and out. Mm-hmm. To, as we read all those things of how to live. distribute to the necessity of the saints. Help one another, love one another, pray for one another, and just live humbly before God and before the body that you belong to.
Right.
Let us use our gifts and our talents for God and not for man. There's always a challenge there to try and get you to look at something else besides the gospel, but praise God. The bride has been predestinated not to fall. As the prophet said, she's predestinated not to do what Eve did. So, not to add to it, but to take the way I look at it, she's predestinated not to do what Lucifer did, not to do what the angels that fell did, not to do what Eve did, not to do what all those down through the ages did. She's ordained of God not to fall. Her confidence is in the Word and the Word alone. Amen. Let's let our musicians come, or musician, if he wants to. The power of a gift. I just talked about how what Satan did with his gifts and what happens, you know, what Elvis Presley did with his, you know, and the negative thing. But look at the power of what can be done with a gift of God that's used properly. It sends souls into the kingdom of heaven. I think of some of these famous singers like Celine Dion or some of them that's got beautiful voices. Could absolutely, just could be like this sister right here. Could be anointed and just absolutely bring the presence of God down. But they sold their gifts out for a mess of Cadillacs. Amen? That's why we tell this sister, cover that. We cover it with prayer because we know that Satan got proposition coming for it to try and use that for his kingdom. We know that. We know that comes. And I'm not trying to single, I'm just saying that's the way it is with all of us. If you've got something in your life that, I've said, you know, they talk about nuclear power. Oh, it's so powerful. It's so terrible. Having a nuclear bomb pretty much guarantees nobody's going to attack you. So it's a double-edged sword. Right? There's a double-edged sword. And when you've got something that can be so powerful for the kingdom of heaven, Satan knows that it can be just as powerful for his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Right? He knows that. The power of a gift can do great things.
Sure.
And it'll be for God if you use it, if you use it the way God sent it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this time around your word. I pray, God, that these words have been sealed away into the heart of your children. Lord, that they can, through your oversight, your wooing of your Holy Spirit, they will recognize in their own lives the battles they fight. Lord, may it give them superpowers, Lord, to overcome the enemy now, to be able to recognize how these things work and to just serve you with humility, serve one another with humility. Let the world pass by and do whatever they want to do, and God, we're going to serve you and stay with you. We love you, Lord, and we pray that you bless them in that way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. traveling back, Anna and Jordan will be traveling back, I'm assuming this evening, and Matthew and Brittany. And so just pray that the Lord would give them traveling mercies and grace. Yeah. Tim will continue to recover. And just the Lord just getting fully ready to go for him and all the different things, pickleball and all all those things, you know. You know, healing's in the body. So I just got to wait. Let it manifest itself. Let it do its thing. And so we really appreciate the Lord has really been with our brother through all that. Yes. I know he waited a long time. And I'm sad that he had to wait for so long. But, you know, God knows what he's doing. And we understand that. So just remember those prayer requests. Remember Sister Pansy. Remember Brother Daniel. Because he'll be traveling this afternoon going up to Pawnee. He'll be preaching up there tonight. So pray that the Lord would just pour in his blessings up there. Let Brother Daniel use his gifts. You know, God's put in his life to be a blessing to the body.
Amen.
And so we know, we see that happening, so we know it will. So just remember them in prayer. I know it's going to be late probably coming back. And so tonight when you get ready to go to bed, just remember Brother Daniel's probably going to be driving. And just pray for him and them as they come back. Would you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. It's good, been good to be in the house of God.
Yes,
God.
Amen.
Just enjoy the afternoon.
Yes.
Say that again, brother. Nice weather, because it's probably going to turn at some point.
More of you.